Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 10th, 2019, looking again at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the second portion. Beginning in verse 6. Brothers, I turn these things into a lesson, using myself and Apollos as examples. I did this for your benefit, so that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written. Then you will not be arrogant, favoring one person over the other. For who makes you so special? And what do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Oh, you are already filled. You have already become rich. You have begun to reign with us. If only that were really true, so that we could reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, in the lowliest position, like men sentenced to death, because we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to people. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so strong. You are honored, but we are despised. At the present, we still hunger and thirst and lack proper clothing. We are treated roughly. We have no settled place to live in. We toil, working with our own hands. When we are verbally abused, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kind words. We have been treated like the world's garbage, like everyone's trash, right up to the present time. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my dear children. Indeed, even if you would have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you would not have many fathers. I say this because in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I urge you, therefore, be imitators of me. That is why I have sent Timothy to you. He is my dearly loved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord is willing, and I will find out about the power, not the talk, of those who are arrogant. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and a spirit of gentleness? This is the word of our God. As mentioned on Friday, Paul gets a little sarcastic here because he cares, like a father caring for his children, and he speaks very bluntly and in a straightforward way that even now, 2,000 years after he wrote these words and in a different language than he wrote them, even now today, you kind of really catch what he's saying. That first paragraph, beginning after in verse 6, just dripping with sarcasm and cynicism, because Paul is calling their attention to the real problem, that these Corinthians have thought so highly of themselves and of their ability to judge character and the effectiveness of ministry, that they think so highly of themselves that they think they've accomplished everything, but their total actions are not godly. Their actions, they get all caught up in squabbles and divisions and fights, and asserting themselves and their own authority and their own betterment and betterness and goodness over against their fellow Christians. And Paul really draws their attention. He says, time out, don't you remember that I'm the one who God used to speak his word to you? And do you think you have advanced so far in my absence that you are even better off than I? He kind of talks in verse 7 there. What makes you so special? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you are so wonderful and wise, especially by human standards, and you want to import that wisdom, that worldly wisdom into God's church, then tell me, go ahead, where did you learn this? And if that is what you teach, then go ahead, tell me, why don't you just keep on boasting about it? But if you did receive it, he says in verse 7, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And so he says, friends, why are you acting like this? Arrogance has no place in the Christian life. Rather, humility is one of the characteristics of faith that, and my dad pointed that out to me early on. I went to Fox Valley Lutheran High School in Appleton, Wisconsin. There were, about 150 kids in my class, you know, so a total student population of 600, 650, 700, depending on the year. And we had four pastors on staff, and they taught most of the religion classes. There were a couple of other teachers who also taught, like, Old Testament history or something like that. But my dad pointed out, he's like, just look at the pastors that are at FEL, and, you know, wonderful men, all of them. And he says, look at them. And don't you see the humility that each one of them has? Where one of the primary characteristics of the Christian life of faith is that humility that recognizes that we don't have anything to contribute to God. And that was basically the gist of it, but he just kind of held up the example of those men as an example to imitate. And it was probably in a wider conversation about maybe the role of emotion in the church, or the role of wisdom, or maybe something had come up, I forget exactly. But that comment really has stuck with me. Look at the pastors, think of the pastors that you've had, either as a young child or even into your older age. And one of the primary characteristics of that pastor is humility, because he knows that it's not about his personal competency or lack thereof. It's just Jesus. And the competence is there only insofar as he points to Jesus. And if he's not being faithful with the mysteries that he has been entrusted with, well, that's a, you know, spiritual malfeasance, you know, lack of stewardship. And so Paul says, I have no choice but to do the best that I can in all that I do to represent Christ faithfully. When we're slandered, we speak kind words. When we're verbally abused, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. We toil, working with our own hands. We hunger and thirst and lack proper clothing. We're treated roughly. And he says, all this for the sake of Christ. He doesn't resort to human wisdom and manipulation and tricks to, you know, try and squeeze more money out of a congregation, or manipulate people into sending him checks or anything like that, you know, like some of the TV evangelists do. Not really evangelists, now are they? But he says, I want to do all that I can to represent Christ well. And what is the result? That he gets treated like Christ did. And thanks be to God for that. That God's word and God's wisdom must stand firm against all the foolish, silly wisdom of this world. That God's wisdom, which says that you are a child of God, that you've been bought with the blood of God himself, and you've been entrusted with the mysteries of God's grace, mysteries that cannot be perceived by human power, reason, or wisdom. And the mysteries of God's grace, as found in Christ and distributed through God's church, are the mysteries that we carry. And so it doesn't matter at the end of the day. In one sense, it doesn't matter how I'm treated. It does matter because, you know, the treatment of a called worker is reflective of the attitude toward Christ. But at the same time, Paul says, go ahead, treat me poorly. My only goal is to be faithful to what Christ has given to me. And so he even says that in verse 16. I urge you, be imitators of me. Don't be arrogant. Down in verse 18, and he says he is going to come soon, and not just with fine talk and manipulative words, but with the power of God. The power of God that is given and communicated through spoken word and sacrament, and affirmed as the Holy Spirit, you know, uses our consciences to convict us of sin and lead us to repentance. That's the power that he's talking about. And the power of God that points to Jesus and says, dear friend, Jesus died for you too. Dear friend, you have life with him today and tomorrow and forever. So as you go about your day, think of the people with whom you worship, and how can we do more to encourage one another in this truth, to rejoice in the fellowship that we share, and be faithful stewards of the mysteries that God has given into our hands. You can find us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. worship this week. We will not have Holy Communion, but we will continue with 7 p.m. worship throughout the entire summer, as well as 9 a.m. worship at 2250 South Holland Savina Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Twitter, just search for @RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.